Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, I'm Johnny Owen, and this is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport. Mark Webster and I ask our guests 11 questions all about their love of football, from their earliest memories of the game to how their matchday rituals have changed over the years. And at the end, they'll tell us their Best 11, a team made up of anyone who's ever played for their club, along with a manager of their choice. Will they go for players they've seen in the flesh, or will they rely on reputation? Let's find out. Our guest today is an actor known for his roles as Sam in Born to Kill and Bonnie in Peaky Blinders. Before getting into acting, he was a pretty handy amateur boxer as well. It is, of course, the excellent Jack Rowan. Jack, welcome to your Best 11. Can you start by telling us who you support and why?
My team is West Ham, and I support them for the simple reason that my dad supports them.
It's always a good response, and Mark Webster's just chucked his fist in the air that you've answered West Ham.
I punched the air. I did, and also because A, it's the right team, and B, for the right reasons.
Because I did notice you're from geographically a different part of London, but explain to us then, was your dad an East End boy, or was it a reason why he supported West Ham?
Yeah, so my dad actually grew up, my dad's from Northern Ireland.
Right.
And he came over here quite young, and he always loved football over there, but he lived sort of in a really small, like, remote area in Northern Ireland, but he loved football. But when he came over to London, he was literally 18, and he moved to like the East End and started going Upton Park and stuff, and met my mum later down the line. But he literally became a West Ham fan from moving over here. He just loved the passion of the club, and it was what he sought after. You know, that was what his style was, and then it's just, you know, it's just, now hopefully my future family will be West Ham.
You'll pass on the baton. Can I ask you as well, what era West Ham? Would he have been the great Bobby Moore, sort of Peter's Hurst era? Was that, or was he Bonds and a bit later, the 70s?
Yeah, Bonds and stuff.
I got you.
Pretty much when I came into the world, that was also another way to rejuvenate his passion in a way, because it was like another person to go to the games with.
And
if anything, we're more passionate about it as I've got older now than we ever have been.
That's great. You know what I mean? Can you tell us your earliest memories of football then, Jack?
Yeah, do you know what? I've forgotten games. Do you know what I mean? Like, because my dad, funny enough, I was talking to him because I told him that I was going to do, doing this interview and stuff. And I said to him, I was like, when's like the first game and stuff that we went to? And he's like, I can't even remember. He's like, I used to take you to games and sit you on my lap. Do you know what I mean? I used to not even have my own seat. My earliest memories is probably loud noise, probably not being able to see anything. And I do actually specifically remember walking up whenever we used to go Upton Park, I remember the floors always used to be really sticky. Because of the beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I remember my feet always sticking to the floor. And then as we walked up the steps to the seats, there was always like that song by Fatboy Slim playing right here, right now.
Yeah.
Remember
that?
Yeah.
And I just remember used to getting a buzz from it, man. And then you used to just walk into like an array of sound. Do you know what I mean? It was, yeah.
Actually, Joe, on that, were you a footballer? Because I know, and John loved this, because you two have got this in common. You were a boxer from very young, but did you like to kick a ball about as well?
Yeah, I kicked the ball about when I was like really young, sort of like kickabout. Mm. I never actually enjoyed playing football in like the proper formation. It was always, I always just enjoyed it down the park where there was like no rules.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And but then as I got older, the boxing sort of came into my life at a young age as well, around like 10, 11. So then I stopped actually playing football because I'd always like sort of get you know, I didn't want to basically get any injuries, any like slide tackles to the ankles and all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just I played football here and there, like the odd game for my school, but it kind of was only really a thing when I was younger. But I love the game. I love the sport, but yeah, not really like was never that the avid player.
Do you know what, Jack? I love this because I was like, I did a lot of amateur boxing as a kid. And it's so true what he's saying. It makes you laugh, this. And this makes me smile when he said, I can remember being in school, right? And I was just picking up a little bit of local press, you know, because I was boxing and blah, blah. And I remember my games teacher saying to me, right, we're going to play you in a game of rugby. And like you, I was going, I don't want to do that. And he went, why? And I went, I could get tackled by that big fella. And he was going, but you go in the ring. And I was going, I don't care. It's a different thing. You know, I'm happy to go and get punched. I don't want him sliding in on my legs or him taking me out. And it's true, isn't it?
Double my size. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was the size thing.
Yeah, at least in the ring, you're probably matched
up. Yeah,
we
all matched up. Somebody, you're not going to win with somebody like 2 stone heavy with it. You're going to win with somebody who's roughly the same weight. I'd love that, Jack. I'm exactly the same.
So, like Johnny, then, I mean, the thing about young kids boxing, and I asked both of you this, is that you don't kind of do it. You have to be dedicated, don't you, as young amateurs?
It's something, you know, I'm sure Johnny will agree, it's something you can't do, you can't do it anything less than 100%, because if you haven't, because with amateur boxing, it's very different to the pros. You don't get told like 10 weeks in advance or 8 weeks in advance that you're fighting. I remember times literally going to the gym on a Wednesday and my coach went, all right, you're boxing on Saturday. Like that quick. So all of a sudden you've gone from not having a fight to having a fight. So if you haven't been doing your running or training hard enough, you're going to get found out.
It's so true. I mean, I used to train 3 times a week and then every night you'd be doing some running or something. And as Jack's absolutely right, sometimes you get matched up maybe the week before. And I got to know Johnny Harris, the actor, who also did a lot of amateur boxing.
Yes.
He was very good.
High standard, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very good. And I remember talking to him once, and I remember getting matched up against somebody from London, somebody like Jack or Johnny. And I can remember turning to my coach and going, oh, they're from London, you know, they're going to be good. And he went, yeah, they will be good. You know, you've got to be on your toes. And I was thinking, okay. And then years later, Johnny Harris said, I got matched up with somebody from Wales once. And I thought, oh, they're going to be from the mountains then. They're going to be running the tips. So he had the same reaction as me. And
yeah.
I think Jack's absolutely what it teaches you. I loved it in the sense of what it taught you. I made great mates there, discipline, training all the time. But also the big thing it taught me was never to use it outside the ring. That was the big thing. It was a bit like you're carrying a loaded gun, really, if you've tried to go outside and use this. And I just thought that was the best thing that I learned about boxing is the discipline, Jack. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you have your outlet.
Yes.
So you'd much rather walk away from a fight than actually get involved in one. Because subconsciously, you're always letting out that any sort of pent-up anger or rage that you might have, you're actually having an outlet constantly. So what you find is when you're walking on the street, you're actually very relaxed and calm. And you just feel like, you know, boxing has an interesting way on just grabbing you. You know, like it really takes over your life and you really sort of live going, oh, I can't wait to go boxing. So, you know, there isn't really much time for fighting in the street.
No.
But funny enough, you mentioned Johnny Harris. He boxed for the same gym as I did.
Ah, did he? Brilliant. Yeah.
What was your club?
The Fitzroy Lodge, Fitzroy Lodge ABC.
A famous club.
We're both on the... so when you walk in, there's loads of sort of like pictures on the wall. And Johnny's on that. But obviously now I am as well.
Brilliant.
So when I used to walk in there... Like I saw him on the wall, but now I'm like joined him on there. So
it's like bloody Rada in there now, isn't
That's
it?
That's lovely in there. But it was really interesting because when Jack did Peaky Blinders and did the boxing scenes, I mean, sometimes, you know, I mean, obviously De Niro went, you know, deep and trained and all that. And you haven't got the time to do that on sort of British TV series because you haven't got the money like Scorsese would have had in the mid-70s. But, you know, you get somebody, Jack, in who's a fine actor anyway, but the boxing scenes, they look real straight away because he knows how to box, do you know what I mean? It's just you can't learn that, you know, in Rada. That's the irony of it. You have to learn that in the gym that Jack come from.
You're listening to the Best 11 podcast from Talk Sport.
Can I ask you, Jack, who your favourite player was as a kid?
Yeah, so as a kid, like, it changed quite a lot. Do you know what I mean? Because naturally, like, as each season goes, you get a different person on the back of your shirt. So
yeah.
I do know who my favourite player was, but I just want to do some honourable mentions. You know what I mean?
Quite right.
I loved Bobby Zamora when he played for us. And I really loved Marlon Harewood as well.
Yeah.
They were sort of part of, that was the sort of part of my life where I remember we got relegated. So we got relegated in like 2002 to 2003 season, and then we had two seasons in the Championship. And I remember going football at that time, and I always wore my West Ham top to football. But all the kids used to be like Chelsea fans, and they were like doing really well at the time. And I just remember like Bobby Zamora and Marlon Harewood, they were just like my, I just loved them as a kid. And like, they were always sort of on the back of my shirt at that age.
Nice.
But then as I grew a bit older, and, you know, I think my favorite player on a consistent basis was Scott Parker. He stood for what I, he's the sort of style of player that I always loved. He was a hard tackler. He was passionate, and he fought for the badge. And I could never knock him for his work ethic. And that's all I asked for as a fan. I don't mind losing. You're never going to win every game, as we say. But as long as the player's putting 100%. And at times, it felt like Scott Parker was like the only one putting in 100%.
He did put West Ham. I'd sit in the west side watching it on with my pals and my brother. And we would say towards the end of the game, I wonder who's going to win the Scott Parker Man of the Match Award today.
Can I point out the smartest looking manager now at the side of a pitch?
That is a neat looking manager, isn't he?
Oh, even his tie pin is always perfectly horizontal, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? If there's a man that can't be ruffled.
He sets a very high bar for the touchline.
He does indeed. Jack, could you tell us about your, I know you touched on it earlier, which is a lovely story, but your dad having you on his lap. Your match day rituals as a boy going to Upton Park. Do you remember it?
I do. I remember it. So we used to get on the district line, and as we got closer and closer to Upton Park, I used to remember that the train used to get, or the tube, should I say, used to get just more and more packed and louder. And it used to just like, you knew, as you didn't even need to know what stop you were at when you knew you were getting close to Upton Park, when it was packed and people were singing. And obviously loads of people would get on at West Ham. It would then get really rammed. So me and my dad always used to get off at Plasto Station, which is a
lovely walk. Lovely walk there.
Plasto is a way of saying it, isn't it?
Yeah, Plasto. And we used to do that walk. And on the way to the stadium, that's where we'd pick up our burger and stuff. And we'd walk and we'd eat it on the way. So by the time we end up getting to Green Street, and we, you know, just like the many people going, Irons, Irons. That's what I remember. And then we'd have our food and we'd literally walk in. But it was such a lovely walk. And I think it's, you know, you'd end up spending that 15 minutes trying to get out of Upton Park Station. So
it was well. I've done that walk religiously. And you walk past, there's a local team plays on a Saturday. You go past the pitch, don't you? And Jack, and there's often a game on, and you can't stop yourself. You've got to stay for 5 minutes.
I got a quick great story for you too. Do you remember the really famous Millwall game in the League Cup where you played again? World War III broke out. I had a mate who was a Millwall fan, worked in media, so not your typical Millwall fan. And he gets on the district that day at Aldgate East. Comes out down from his job in Shoreditch. Of course, he gets on the tube, and as it's getting closer and closer to Upton Park, it fills full of West Ham fans, and he's Millwall, so he just stays there. And he says, by the time we get towards Upton Park, It's a carriage full of, what should we say, very sort of East End Essex boys who'd gone into town for a drink of the day. So he says, I decide not to get off. So he stays on the district, goes all the way out on a loop, comes back in. Of course, the same thing happens again. You come in the other way, he starts picking. He thinks, forget it, I'm not getting off. And he goes all the way back out to Richmond where he lives. We said, I spent 3 hours on the district line just sitting there as a Millwall fan.
Just out of passion.
That is the strangest run. He's from Richmond to Upton Park. Could there be two further worlds apart?
I know.
It's all on the same green train.
You're running the whole gamut of it. But it's interesting, as you say, as Jack says, the district line almost like is a very much a West Ham tube then as it goes up.
Too right. Once you get the mile end, then you know you're entering that
Claret and Blue territory.
So Jack, has it changed? What's your match day rituals nowadays? I mean, obviously, I say nowadays.
Well, I was going to, picking up on like the earlier question, like as part of like a ritual, because it links quite nicely to my ritual now. So it was the same after the game. So when the game finished, it was always, you know, when the game finished, it was always packed. So me and my dad always used to we used to go to a pub, and he'd have like a few beers and I'd have a Coke or something. And we'd always let the crowds go.
Very wise.
And that was really nice. Like, I used to get an experience of those pubs in Upton Park, which is, you know, it was always buzzing, always singing. And because I was like a young kid, I was like the only kid in there, everyone used to like show me a lot of love. I remember having like big curly hair, and everyone used to like put like, you know, like rub my hair.
Ruffle the head, isn't it? The classic man's thing for a kid. All right, son.
Yeah, exactly. be that. And then you know, me and my dad would go sort of every game we would go to, so we'd start to get recognized. But now it's sort of similar. Like we get there early enough, or we have our food beforehand. But now after the game, we go to a pub called the Black Ball, which is near Stratford.
Yeah.
Great place. Fantastic place. Like proper good pub, you know, good people. Win or lose, draw, it's always loud in there. And now the only difference, the only change is that I can drink now. So
yes.
And now what's ruffling your hair? I hope.
Exactly. Jack, can I ask you, Jack? Listen, let's talk a little bit about your dad. What's his name? Because Northern Ireland's such a great place in the world for footballers. You know, right back from Blanche Flower through to Best, and also as a country. You know, the times they qualified for major tournaments, extraordinary really for a country of only 1.5 million people. What's his name?
So my dad's called Andrew, but you know he goes by Andy.
Yeah.
As I've got older, I've realised that, you know, there's some toughness that you just can't teach. And that's certainly what he's got in him. Just toughness and hard work ethic. That's one thing I've always learned from him. You know, he's 100% at everything. So I hope that I've got some of that genes, you know.
Yeah, that's lovely. I suspect.
Is there much family back home then? Have you got many relatives back in Northern Ireland?
Yeah, I tend to go there. I tend to go there pretty much. When I was younger, I used to go there like more often, but I try and get there at least once a year.
Nice.
You know, we go there, and it's one of them where in London, like obviously got like a nice, you know, big family over here, but it's different over there. Like over there, I remember like going to like a house, let's say, and you think you're just going to meet one of your aunties or something, but then all of a sudden everyone turns up and you're like, I can't even remember everyone. It's one of those, you know, it's one of them places where it's just a lovely place. You know, there's a different smell over there. Like the air is different.
Yeah.
You know, I always remember like getting off the plane and I'd know I was in Northern Ireland or Ireland in general by just the fresh air, you know.
Yeah. So probably because of that, it's fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's lovely, Jack. Jack, can I ask you, have you got a favorite piece of memorabilia or a memento?
Yeah. As I've got older, I've started collecting a load of the old like shirts, you know, from back in the day. Like I've got some shirts from like the early 90s. So as in terms of like memorabilia and stuff, I'm enjoying sort of building on my shirt collection. But I'd say like a specific memento, like my favorite memento, I've got these two teddies of our old mascots, Herbie and Bubbles.
Yeah.
And they're signed by Herbie and Bubbles, which is really cool.
Nice. Did you go down the front at half time then and get them signed?
It was a game where I happened to actually be sitting near the front.
Right.
So they came down and they signed my program as well that day.
Can I ask you both as hammers? Bubbles, I get. Why Herbie?
Herbie the hammer.
Well, he's like a hammerhead, isn't he?
He is.
So just because of H and it rhymes with...
It's no H's. He's Herbie the Hammer.
Can you tell us about your favourite player now, who he is?
Oh, man, do you know what? It genuinely, as I said earlier, it changes every game. As long as there's a player playing well, I love him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's all you need to do to get me to like you. Do you know what I mean? For example, the game just gone, Angelo Ogbonna. Do you know what I mean? I'm like really enjoying him at the moment. He's so solid at the back.
Yeah.
I'm obviously want to be specific as to who my favorite player is. Obviously, got to love Antonio.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I'd say my favorite player, just in terms of like, you just know one day, you just know he's going to be a star, and you know that he always whether he leaves us soon or down the line, you always know he was a West Ham boy to start with. But I've got to say Declan Rice.
I knew where that was going.
He said before the show started, I bet you Declan Rice is his favourite modern player.
How can you look past him at the moment? I mean, as you say, Jack, I'm with you. I think the attitude is enjoy him while we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're a club where we go, look, we know that a day might come where he moves on. But the fact is, when he's playing for us, he gives us 100%.
Yeah.
He plays every minute of football. So I think even if he does leave, whether it be soon or down the line, I think he'll always be loved by us.
True.
And he knows he's got a special place among the fans. Like he's, I know that he knows how loved he is.
Yeah.
I got to speak as a neutral here as well. The old reasons for somebody leaving West Ham, you know, you're both West Ham fans, would have been stuff like stadium size and, you know, crowd size and all the rest, all those kind of things. But now you're thinking, there's not a better stadium to play in, really, in the sense of the size of it and the crowds are going to be watching you. It's a fantastic place to live, London.
Yeah.
They're well paid there. You've got a terrific, you know, sort of support. There's not a lot of reasons to leave West Ham now, is there? You know, unless you're talking like super club. Like
We need to be as successful as we currently are, on as good a run as we are, and it needs to remain that kind of way, because otherwise Chelsea will come and get it.
That's the thing.
We can't be in relegation battles.
No,
too,
you're right.
Yes.
Just in that stadium with also our team, like, we just need, you know, the success needs to come from the pitch first.
Yes.
And then everything else will follow. We can't be in this big stadium and grand scale fighting a relegation battle every season.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And now I'm worried about it, Jack, because once someone starts down the shirt collecting route, it's a bottomless pit. But at least your knowledge on your favourite kit is probably expert. So what is your best ever one?
So my favourite one, which, funny enough, it was only like a week ago I finally managed to get one of my own. It might not be the most memorable season for West Ham fans, but I just love this shirt. It was our away shirt in the 2002 to 2003 season. So it was a white one with claret stripes. It was like a pinstripe shirt. And it's just everything about it was simple yet stylish, and it's timeless. And I just think, for me, I remember looking, because I've kept all my old shirts from a kid. So I've got literally loads.
Nice.
And I remember I got the full kit of that one. And I just remember always looking at it going, oh, that's my favourite. So now I finally managed to get one of my own. Just everything about it, Fila, Dr. Martens, just it's summery. It's also, you can wear it like with a coat on. I just love it.
He likes his shirt, doesn't he?
I know, that's a great shirt. I like the sound of it. Dr. Martens is on there.
Exactly.
Pinstripes.
Great
wear that.
Sponsor. A great sponsor.
It is a great sponsor. Great sponsor's part of the key of having a kit you love, isn't it?
Do you wear a shirt to the games?
Oh, I'm a shirter.
Yeah.
And I tend to, because as we say, I got a fair amount, so I go like a nice rotation of a few.
Ah, good lad. Like it.
But yeah, I mean, look, we could sit here all day talking about favourite shirts. If I had to be specific, that one's always had a special place because, as I said, I always looked at it out of my shirt collection when I was younger, so it was like, it pretty much fits like a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And I always was like, oh, I want that in my size. And literally a week ago, finally managed to get one, and it had Cole number 26 on the back. It only makes it a little bit more special, you know?
Oh, that's great. Well done.
Good condition as well. That's important.
It is important.
You want it to look smart, you know? I'd rather not have the shirt if it looks, which is natural with age. It comes with age, but the shirt I managed to get is like really good condition. So
it's like the Scott Parker of the acting world, Jack, isn't it?
I like that. Yeah,
yes, it's a good meticulous.
And he likes Scott Parker. Obviously, he got influenced by him as a child. Yes,
the Best 11 podcast from Talk Sport.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Have you got a team that's not yours that you've got a soft spot for, Jack?
Yeah, so in terms of like, so I have a, in terms of like a team I like, so if West Ham wasn't a team tomorrow, like a team that I would support, which is, tell a good link to this actually. So one of my best friends, he's a QPR fan.
Okay.
And he goes, he's got a season ticket with his dad and his brothers and all that. Literally whenever his dad or brothers can't make it, he always takes me.
Okay.
So I've been to, there was a time like, it was around like our early seasons in the London Stadium. I was like going to more QPR games. I was like, bloody hell. So I've always got a soft spot for QPR. And I remember literally this conversation came by accident. I was just telling my dad about the game because I remember it was like QPR v Birmingham. And it was just one of those, like, we were right by the away fans. It was just really, it was an amazing game. It was like 3-3 or something. And I was telling my dad about it. And my dad was like, yeah, for the first game I ever went to was a QPR game. Not me, but my dad. Like, I think my dad must have came to London when he was a kid, and he went to a QPR game with, like, I don't know, one of his uncles or something. And I was like, that is mad.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I've got just because I've actually been to QPR games, I've got a soft spot for them.
And as long as they stay in a different division, everything's right.
Okay. I was going to ask you, Jack, I'm intrigued. Are you a Northern Ireland fan rather than England fan, or are you England?
I'm more England, obviously, because even though I've got family in Northern Ireland, I grew up here. You know, I've lived in England my whole life. So, but of course, support both. Like, as if Northern Ireland are playing, or if Northern Ireland are in, let's say there is a situation, let's say they're all in the Euros and one of them went out.
Yeah,
I would follow the other one.
You're lucky.
Nice. He's got the second option. Good lad.
No, that's great. That is for big international tournaments. Fantastic.
Very good. Right, Jack, we're going to ask you now for your best 11. Are you going to go club or country?
Club.
Good lad. Okay, then. So Mark is literally like a coiled spring waiting with a pen.
I'm with you all the way. I've written Declan Rice's name down for some reason already. Yeah. I don't know why.
We'll start with the goalkeeper, mate. So you fire away.
Right. So do you know what? As a little heads up, I was thinking about this, of what I would do. So I've basically, to make it more easier for myself, I've sort of made it only in my era. So I've gone from the 90s onwards.
Okay, that's fine. No worries.
Good idea.
Yeah. So in goal, just because I used to love him when he played for us, I'd put Rob Green.
Very good. He was exceptionally good for us as well. One of the players that stayed through thick and thin, wasn't he? He was brilliant. And that got him in the England side as well, his time at West Ham.
He was solid for us. And like, I know loads of people, when you say Rob Green, they'll mention that screw up in the World Cup. Yeah. But come on, Rob Green was a solid goalkeeper, and we know, because for us he was great.
Yeah.
And I remember buying, like, I don't know why, but when I was a kid, I really wanted this big, bright, fluorescent yellow goalkeeper top, and I had him on the back. Probably never wore it, but
I always think it's a bit of a thankless task, boys, because somebody was saying to me, that's a good point, goalkeepers can be outstanding for 89 minutes. One mistake. That's it. Whereas strikers can do nothing for 89 minutes. One goal and you're the hero.
Yeah.
And like saying, you just summed it up, Jack. He's known for that mistake, bless him. But all those hours that he was brilliant for West Ham, he's not known. So I'm glad you're saying this.
Yeah,
you know?
Good point, yeah.
My formation, I'll go for a 3-4-3.
Ooh.
See, there's no way a man of your age was going to go 4-4-2. That's just for us.
Yeah.
3-4-3. Plough on, mate.
Go on, Mick. Tell us your defence.
In defence, I'd have Dixie.
Yes.
Julian. I'd have Rio Ferdinand.
Of course.
And I'd have Alvin Martin.
Ooh.
Now, you've got... very interesting. So you're moving Dixie towards the back end of his career. And I think when he came back to West Ham, he was basically playing on one leg. So he was he had to adapt to his game. He wasn't tearing up and down the touchline in those days, was he?
Yeah, but I like his style, you know? Yeah. I like his style. Like, he's the sort of defender that I always loved. Like, a hard tackler.
Uncompromising.
Yeah. So I just think, like, you... Especially nowadays, like, you know, we watch football now and sometimes people go down so easily, especially with VAR, it might actually encourage it a bit more. Blimey, someone like Dixie was playing now.
No chance.
No chance, yeah.
Poor Dixie.
Yeah.
I like the fear that he might put in a striker would have a hard day's work with Julian Dix at the back. So
correct.
He was a brainer.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So you're four across the middle.
So do you know what? I was thinking about Declan Rice, putting him in there, but just because of he's still young. Do you know what I mean? I know he's great for us, but I actually left Declan Rice out.
Ooh, okay.
Controversial. Scrubs his name out on my team sheet. Okay, go on.
But out of respect, and also out of just the many hours and the many the blood, sweat, and tears that he's put into us, I've got to put Mark Noble in.
You got him as captain.
Yeah, we'll have him as captain.
Go on, that's got to be. I have written his name with C at the end of his name.
I didn't notice that, yeah.
Always do, and,
My man Scotty Parker, have him in there.
Yeah.
And
then I'll have Joe Cole. Yeah. I love Joe Cole.
The magician.
The magician. Do you know what? This last person, I actually switched it round because... So, the guy I've put in our team is Yossi Benayoun.
Class. Benayoun. What a playmaker.
Yeah. What a skillful player. I love Benayoun and when he played for us. But I actually was sort of, because it was actually a really hard thing trying to think about this team. I was like, who do I put? There's actually, but you'll be happy to know that I swapped, I basically put Benayoun instead of Payet.
Yeah, because I'm still emotional about that, Jack. If you wouldn't mind, it's not been long enough.
Don't like to talk about it.
Couldn't myself to put him in the squad.
He's like the best player we've ever had. Virtually, very nearly the best player we've ever had.
Exactly, yeah, and he didn't want to stay with me.
Benayoun took his spot.
Yeah, that's, I like that. It's very diplomatic. Well played.
And you're going for three up front, Jack?
Yeah, three up front. Yeah.
Go on.
So this person, honestly, I'm so glad I'm able to mention him because he was such a good player and his career got cut short. Dean Ashton.
Oh, superb.
Such a shame, wasn't it?
For England. Oh. He'd have been the nine for England.
He was like,
forever.
Somebody meant to be, he was like Wayne Rooney, only bigger.
Yeah. So skillful.
Oh, so at everything.
And then I'd have East London's favourite Italian. I'd have Paolo Di Canio.
Every time his name's mentioned, I play in my head Trevor Sinclair's diagonal pass and that volley.
It wasn't even a volley, it was a bicycle kick in the air.
He's in midair.
What's that about?
For about a week and a half.
And manages to maneuver his body and his feet.
He reshapes his body
in the air
to allow himself with the ball.
Some say he's still there now.
Still hanging up.
Oh, what a great... No, that's lovely. Ashton Di Canio, who's your third striker?
And then, I always have a soft spot for him, Tevez.
Tevez.
Oh, quite right.
Saviour, as they call him. Saviour. Saved us.
Yeah. It's one of those players where we only had him for a season, but I think, it was very different than Dimitri Payet. Carlos Tevez was moving on naturally,
yes,
as opposed to...
Quite right.
The time we needed him, he turned up. Do you know what I mean?
He was an absolute tiger, wasn't he? Little fella, but he was played out of position because no one knew where you're meant to play a centre forward who's about 5'6". And he just grafted, didn't he, for the team? It was a joy to watch him. I'm completely with you on that.
So there's the $60,000 question from my age. There's an old TV show in the 50s. Who do you have as manager, Jack?
So I'm kind of split between two.
Okay.
It was, again, a bit before my time, but I like his style and I like him as a person. So Harry Redknapp is
H, as they call him.
But then also, it was more my sort of main era, when all I thought about was West Ham. So I've always remembered him as the manager, Alan Pardew.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay, yes. It kind of... One of the forgotten men, I think, in terms of West Ham. But he was extraordinarily successful for us for a lot of his time with us, wasn't he?
Yeah, and also when he, we got relegated, he came in and we were so unlucky not coming up straight away, losing to Palace in that final. Then We came up the next year. Then we made the FA Cup final.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember him having a fight with Wenger on the touchline.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. It's amazing what you remember him for. The little dance for Crystal Palace and the fight with Wenger.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just have memories of Alan Pardew. But, yeah, it's kind of split between them. But, you know.
Sorry, Jack. Got to put you on the spot, son. You got to pick one.
I'm going to throw a curveball just because I believe in him and I want to say it on the radio. Moisey. I'll put Moisey.
Whoa! You see, he's led us up the garden path.
He did say earlier on, didn't he, that he wants the man to be given time.
I like it. Moisiah. He's written. I just got to ask you.
I've never heard that before. Moisiah.
The Moisiah. And I like to think, Jack, that you'll now that you've done this, you're going to go away and complete your best 11 team in shirts. Because clearly you're
a man that knows his shirts.
He's a lost soul already, so you might as well do something constructive and build your best 11 team in your own shirts. Because you've got a Rob Green,
I got a Scott Parker, I got a Joe Cole.
You're on your way.
You're a fantastic actor. You've been a wonderful guest, Jack. Thanks so much for joining us, mate. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Thank you so much.
The Best 11 Podcast from Talk Sport.
Thank you for listening to the Best 11 Podcast. Don't forget, we've got new episodes out every Thursday. So join us for more football memories and another Best 11 very soon.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult. And that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.